Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Today, we've got some very special guests joining us. We're going to meet several people connected to Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. Chi Alpha is a national outreach to college students and serves on college campuses all across the nation. Today, we're joined by campus missionaries and college students from Penn West Edinburgh and Penn State Barron. And Pastors Allison Saring and TJ Schaefer, the directors of Edinburgh Chi Alpha, will be sharing with us. We'll see the impact that these ministry teams are having on our college campuses. So let's get started today and learn more about Chi Alpha and what God is doing on the college campus.
So when I came to college, I had just come out from a really damaging family situation into a really isolated space because I came in during COVID. It was to the point where I was pushing myself really, really hard to succeed in this career path. I was like doing homework all the time. Like I wasn't taking care of myself because I was just always working. And I started talking to God about that. And he told me, even if you don't succeed in this career path that you are pouring all of your efforts into, it is enough for you that you are here. I have brought you here to talk to people, to tell them about me. And when I started really getting involved in Chi Alpha, it was like the first community that I've ever been a part of where my flaws and my mistakes, I was never given judgment because of them. And it really changed my perception of what family is because I had never really had that sort of experience with family before. And now I'm a student leader in Chi Alpha and my purpose has been completely changed from what it was before, pursuing all this glory and fame and all these things to try and justify the loss of my biological family. And now it's shifted to try and bring in new members into the family of Jesus because of Chi Alpha's showing me what family actually is.
Wow. I just love hearing Lena's story. Lena, thanks for sharing your story with us. Good morning, church. Hello, Erie First. We are so excited to be here this morning and just give you a small glimpse of all the big things that God is doing on what we say is the most strategic mission field in the world, which is the college campus. And I just want to take a moment and thank Pastor Nicole and Erie First just for giving us space to even share like this morning. And thank you both to Pastor Nicole and Joel for just their heart for young people and always making intentional space and room for college students to be seen and valued in this church. Chi Alpha appreciates you both deeply.
Well, it's Chi Alpha's heart to make disciples, to build God's kingdom at large, and like our friend Lena just said, invite people into the family of God. It's just such a beautiful thing when we get to watch students come into real relationship with the Father and take on their rightful identity as sons and daughters of His family, like Scripture says. When we come to believe, we are brought back into right relationship with God. Scripture says a lot that we've been adopted into God's family. And as it was mentioned by Alicia, 2 Corinthians 5:20 is Chi Alpha's like national banner where we say, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
And reconciling people into the family of God, inviting people to stop living a dead life and move into one that is new and alive in Christ, it's not just a Chi Alpha thing. It's a kingdom thing, right? We are all invited into the mission of being disciple makers. So if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus this morning, a follower of His ways, our hearts, they must be attuned to what His heart beats for, which is relationship. And that is true, authentic relationship with Him and with others. And in Chi Alpha, we have all these like Chi Alpha-isms. And one of them is the kingdom of God is established through relationship. The kingdom of God, it is established through relationship. And we do that by inviting people to the table of our lives. And I love that idea. I love this like picture, this image that our lives are like a table. And because of who Christ is, there should be something in us that really compels us to invite other people to the table as well. Because when we make space for people at our table, when we choose to do life with them truly, that is really when people can meet the person of Jesus. That is when people's lives actually are transformed from the inside out. It's by inviting people to the table, your table. And so God uses people, not structures, to bring what is lost back to him. Because we truly are God's plan A to reach the world. So there's no backup plan. We are God's plan A. It's people. It is not structures. So just like bump your neighbor and tell them, you are God's plan A to reach the world.
You're God's plan A to reach the world.
You're God's plan A to reach the world. And sometimes I think we can get stuck in the structure of something, but really God uses people. He uses us. And so we've been talking a lot about this idea with our students, intentionally inviting people to their table and always, always, always having another seat available for someone else to join in. So our tables, they should never be full. They should never be at capacity, because in the kingdom of God, there's always one more room in the family.
And so that is why we actually have the table here as a fun representation of what our full-time life is on the college campus. This is what it looks like, just a little bit, especially with the pizza. It's wild and it is fun. And these are genuinely some of the people that are in our lives and in Pastor Alicia's lives that the Lord has blessed us with. And we really believe, like, this is such an incredible honor on our end that God has chosen us to do life with these students throughout their time in college. And this is why we've chosen to give our entire lives up for this, is because we believe God has called us, he's chosen us, and that these people are worth fighting for. They are so valuable in God's eyes and our eyes. And we see that, like, this age range is such a pivotal year and why we believe it's such a strategic mission field. So our table is wild. It's fun. It's a little crazy. It's late. It's like 1 a.m. sometimes. And it's filled with a lot of non-believers, international students, Christians, family, friends. And I bet your table might not look exactly like this, but I bet it looks somewhat similar, a little messy, but with some people around it, right? So maybe your table's packed with some blue-collar workers that sit around with you, or maybe your table's packed with some retired friends, or maybe it's filled with some of other young families that are doing life with you. But I like to say, like, each table is different because each of us are designed differently to reach different people. And so that's really important. Our God is so intentional with how he's designed us to reach his people. But here's our point today. Oh, can't remember my point.
Sorry.
Okay, just kidding. So here's the point today. If somebody else came up to the table, if Michaela came up, if Charles came up, if Colton came up, and they walked up, what would we do? We'd be like, why are they coming up here? See, we'd have this moment of, we have two choices, right? We either pull up a seat, we give somebody else their seat, or sadly, there'd be the moment where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, there's like no more space here. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've all been in that space, whether it was like middle school lunchroom, or like high school, college, at the lunch table at work, maybe sometimes here in spaces in church. And that's what we really wanted to emphasize is, like, have you felt this tension before of there's no more room? So at this point, you guys can definitely have a seat, just not there. Just you can have a seat somewhere else. So give it up for them. They're incredible. The Lord has really blessed us with them. Because for us, a lot of our seats are filled with college students. That's what we do. That's what we do. But I really wanted to take this moment to assess, like, who is at your table? I want you to ask yourself, who is sitting at your table today? Who are you currently making room for? Your friends, your family, maybe somebody in this church, somebody in another church. I want to ask, is your table full or is your table a little empty? Is it empty by neglect? Is it empty by choice? Because sometimes without really realizing it, we end up becoming really selective who ends up coming into our life and coming in close and sitting at our table. Sometimes we just want a little elbow room. I want space, you know, so we don't have that room. Sometimes we just say, you know what, someone else will invite them, so it'll be okay. I'll say no, I'll pass them on to somebody else. But in doing that, we often miss the people that are right in front of us that God has intentionally placed in our lives. They're in your classes. They're your nosy neighbor who always wants to talk to you a lot longer than what you're ready for. It's the same person that you always do business with. Sometimes it's just the people that you constantly see at the local coffee shop that you go to. Sometimes we can miss these people that are right in front of us that God is actually saying, invite them to your table of your life. Corrie ten Boom says, if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. Let that sit. Whew. If the devil can't make us bad, he will make us busy. Right? I don't know about you, that hits, that resonates, because we live in America and this culture is surrounded by a busy lifestyle filled with comfort. And that's easy to take over our entire life. And research has shown that over time, Christians tend to have fewer non-Christian relationships. So the older you get as a Christian, the less likely you're going to have a non-Christian around your table. I think that's a dumb statistic right now. Like that's something that we recognize does not reflect God's heart. And so I wanted to say, like, it's natural though that as we get older, we want to surround ourselves who think like us, who look like us, who act like us. But I wanted to ask, like, is this healthy? How often are we missing the people in front of us because of our busyness? And is this really how Jesus is asking us to live our life?
And I'll clue us in right now. It's not. That is not how Jesus is asking us to live. Jesus, he really laid out before us this alternative way to live our lives. In his way, it looks upside down compared to the way of our culture today, because kingdom culture, it's different, right? Our DNA is different. What we value is different. What we aim for is different. Like the perspective of how we see people and then how we choose to interact with those people and do life with them, that is also different. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, we can see that he always had room for one more person at the table. And then when that seat became full, he was ready to set out another one and another one and another one. And time again, he made space for one more person to be invited into his life. And Jesus knew he didn't really have to be like the people in order to influence them, but Jesus knew he had to be with them, right? He knew he had to be with people, and he like was with people outside the four walls of a church, outside of a, you know, a weekly small group or life group, like we call them, for 2 hours a week. Jesus was with people in his real everyday life. So the good, the bad, the mundane, the unrefined, he was with people in that. And so, yes, Jesus, he had things to do. He had things to accomplish. He had a mission laid before him, but he was never too hurried to be with people. And that was because he actually understood his assignment, which was being with people and inviting them to the table of his life. So Jesus says, hey, come sit at my table. I have a seat for you. Or, hey, come do life alongside me. Let's be together. Or I have room for you. Even if somebody else said, hey, I don't have room for you at my table. He goes, hey, come sit with me. I have room for you. I see you. And so every time we open up our lives and invite someone in, like, I mean, truly invite somebody in, not the like, I'm going to say hey to them distant at church. Hi. That's not inviting somebody into your life. But what I mean, like, truly doing life with people, the good, the bad, the mundane, is really when we get to show people that Jesus has room at his table for them too. And so I think of some examples in scripture that really just get me so excited. And Jesus, like, he made room for a Samaritan woman, and then she goes and evangelizes a whole city. Or Jesus made room for a tax collector, and then all the other people really began to see, oh, it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you came from. There's room at the table of Jesus. Or Jesus made room for a man with leprosy, and he really showed the religious people that this is who he came for. the lowly, the humble, the broken, and the hurting. And so Jesus, he also made room for you and me at the table too. And so we all have a story of being invited to the table by Jesus and by somebody else in our lives. And so inviting people to the table and really doing life with them, like, that was Jesus' secret to success. That was his ministry model. That was his pro tip, if you want to frame it that way. And I think sometimes in our human nature, we can overcomplicate it. We can make it harder than it is. And we just need to follow how Jesus laid it out in scripture, because he knew what was best, the best way for building his kingdom, which was relationship, which was community, which was real life on life with people.
So as we continue to see how Jesus like lived this out, this gives us the opportunity to allow him to examine us. It gives us the opportunity to look back and say, okay, how is he asking me to do this, and how am I already practicing this now? So if you're like me, I always sit there and I'm like, man, I wonder about me. I wonder what's getting in my way. I wonder why it's hard for me to pull up an extra seat sometimes. Because I know for myself, I tend to quickly accuse things beyond me. I'm like, man, my schedule, it's just kind of wild right now. Or they probably won't want to be friends with me. Or their schedule is probably really busy. So it's okay. It's fine. I'll keep this seat open. But even if there's a crumb of truth in that, it's safe to say that what usually gets in the way of inviting people into our life, to the table, ends up being more of our inner world. Perhaps we feel insecure or nervous of rejection. Maybe we're afraid of offending somebody, of being boring, or maybe just not being liked at all. And alternatively, maybe we feel a little selfish and we don't want our schedule to get kind of mucked up by this disruption. We don't want to engage in awkward conversations or kind of step out of our comfort zone, right? But we realize like the posture of our hearts often is what prevents us from making room in our lives for new people.
And so we start to think, well, then how should our hearts be postured then? How should they be realigned to the Father's? And if we want to live best on mission, then the posture of our hearts should be ones that are willing and available to those God puts in front of us. And so it's just like a heart posture of a yes to him. And we say a lot in Chi Alpha, will you put your yes on the table? And that simply just means, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to minister to, whoever you want me to invite to the table, I say yes to you, because Jesus, you truly know best. Like, he knows who he's asking to be at your table. And, you know, there are always people who are waiting on the other side of our yes. There are always people who are waiting on the other side of our obedience to Jesus. People who are waiting for a life-changing encounter with God. They don't know the true joy, peace, love. They're hopeless. And so there are people who are waiting on the other side of our yes to Jesus. And so when we do this, when we align our hearts to say yes to him, we will see the effects of that yes, I truly believe, for generations to come. We are creating a spiritual lineage, a spiritual heritage that truly goes beyond us, but it always first starts with a heart posture of yes.
So it's time for us to say, like, have we ever considered our yes on the table? And how that impacts generations, how that genuinely impacts the people around us, because saying yes to inviting somebody opens up incredible opportunities for us to make a difference. So here are two more students' experiences of someone who said yes to inviting them to the table, their life, their community.
In my life, I was looking for security through positions of influence. I wanted something consistent that I could rely on, something that could show me how I'm able to affect people, that I was doing the right thing and following God and serving him right. In Chi Alpha at Edinburgh University, I found a place where I was regularly interacting with people, regularly talking to them about Jesus, and regularly leading them into godly conversations. But then God used COVID actually to take me out of that environment where I was at home, stayed home for a year from school. And that next semester, when I first came back to school, was really pivotal in that God showed me how my position wasn't relevant in the context of what I did in a ministry or where I talked to people or how often I talked to people. But he showed me very intentionally through that season and through the support of people that I met in Chi Alpha, he wants to show me my position, my security is fixed in him. I found that that semester was the closest I felt to the Lord ever, even after going through a painful breakup, even after coming back and just trying to readjust to school after being home for a year. God showed me that right there in my room, when it was the quiet moments that I had with him and me and no one else, that was where my security was found.
Chi Alpha has impacted me most specifically through my friendships. As we started growing and hanging out together more, as we went to Monday Night Live and worshiped together, all sitting next to each other in the same row or in the same area of our auditorium, or when we went to Bible study, growing in those times with those people helped me grow more than I ever thought I could. Without them, my faith would not be 10 times as big as it is now. Just knowing that you're not alone in your walk with Christ it's impacted me in my confidence. It's impacted me in knowing that it's okay if I miss one day because I was super stressed, because God still loves me. These people still love me. They still have my back. And they also hold me accountable. Knowing that my friends this summer were also reading the Bible, I knew that I wasn't alone in trying to learn more about God. And because of that, I felt more inspired to read and learn and grow as much as I could. Without Chi Alpha, I don't know where I'd be, because these friends have given me so much grace and so much love. And I've really learned more about God's love through the friends that I've gotten through Chi Alpha.
Thank you, Hannah and Josiah, for sharing your stories with us. And so, those videos get me so hype. So I guess the question that we have for us this morning is like, okay, we know the why, but like how? How do we truly begin inviting someone to the open seat at our tables? How can we begin making space for people in our everyday lives?
So as followers of Christ, we are in the process of apprenticing to Jesus, which means we're learning, observing, and modeling our lives after Jesus. And so we wanted to just come up with some three practical ways that we can start this literally today, now, at the end of service. So the first way that we really believe that this is so easy, that it's the practice of inviting them into your everyday routines of your life. So this is not the same as entertaining or hosting, cleaning up your entire house to show off your space and to make somebody feel like they're just so impressed. But this is about letting them into your real, unrefined, raw lives. This is in letting them witness how you handle family. It's how we handle work, how we handle our faith and mistakes, and even the process of repenting. When we invite people into that, it gives them an understanding of what it looks like for them to also follow Jesus. So for you, that may mean inviting someone to join you when you're going to your kids' sporting event. Maybe it's having a standing weekly dinner where they come over not just to eat, but to make some food with you or to help clean up and hang out. Not the whole night, obviously, school. But it's just the opportunity of letting somebody see what your life genuinely looks like and getting to know what their life looks like. Because Jesus invited the disciples to experience every aspect of his life, not just when they went to the synagogue. Right? It was every single moment. So similarly, we are meant to model the same way Jesus did. We're not just seeing people here within the walls of the church, but we're inviting people into the spaces of our lives.
The second thing that came to mind for us when it comes to inviting people to the table is praying and asking the Holy Spirit for his perspective. So last week, Pastor Nicole just finished up an awesome series called Pray More. Let's go for that. And we closed out the series actually talking about how to pray for those who are far from God. It was like the Lord just like lined up these weeks like he knew. It was so perfect. And so church, like let's really put that into action daily. Like let's be asking the Holy Spirit for him to give us fresh eyes, new perspective for people in our lives. And it might be people that you pass by a lot. It actually might be people that you're interacting with on the regular, but we usually never stop and pause and just slow down and take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, is this somebody that you're asking me to invite a little closer or having a little bit of a deeper relationship with him? And when we ask, the Holy Spirit will respond. And so sometimes we say no for people. We count people out a lot. Oh, they won't want to sit at my table. But that is our perspective, right? Like, we aren't supposed to lean on our own understanding, our own perspective, but we are aiming to have God's perspective, the Holy Spirit's perspective, because really, people, they are waiting to be invited by you. And so as you take time to pray and seek, and then the most important part, obey the Holy Spirit. Like, he will be faithful to highlight those in our lives that we could be missing. There's just sometimes where I'm like, Holy Spirit, like, remove the scales from my eyes. It really just, like, shakes me to my core sometimes to think about. There are people that I interact with on the daily, and I'm like, Lord, am I missing them? Because I won't step out in faith. Is my yes not on the table? And so, like, what I love about how Jesus, how he lived his life, is that he slowed down. He did not live life on autopilot, and he asked for the eyes of his Father in heaven to see people around him who were simply waiting for an invitation to come taste and see that the Lord is good.
And the third way that you can begin and practice this, that we all are meant to begin and practice this, is living missionally. So I actually really want to take this moment. If you are in college right now and you're in this room, could you stand if you're able? Keep going. I know some of you still aren't standing, Ben. There's a real group in here, right? Give it up for the Lord. Come on. Like we've talked about, God is raising the next generation for his glory. And so I want you guys to see them, and I want you guys to think missionally. How can I get them in our life? How can I take them out to lunch? How can I get to know their name and ask what's going on in their life? Because these are the people that are genuinely here, except for the summer sometimes, because school's not in. But you guys can take a seat. We often say in Chi Alpha that your mission field is where your feet are. And their feet are here, your feet are here. So that means let's live missionally and let's connect together. This missional mindset applies all day, every day, Sunday to Sunday. We can do a little overlap. Whether you're at home, whether you're waiting in line, whether you're sitting at your desk, you have the opportunity to make a difference. Nobody is void of purpose. Our purpose has been given to us by God to live on mission with him, okay? So your purpose is to live on mission with God. And so this means seeking out opportunities to invite other people to join you in what may seem lame, mundane, boring, messy. That is where Jesus, we see all of these conversations through the Gospels, through those accounts, is through those mundane moments where they're just walking somewhere and a question gets brought up. That's how it happens. So we also say in Chi Alpha that we are a missional community. We're not just on mission. We're not a mission machine pumping out disciples. We are not just a community. We're not just a social club getting together to party it up once a week. No, we are a group. We are a community of people centering our lives around Jesus and his ways together to expand his kingdom and his family. And that's our heart. That's what missional community is. We're meant to do this together. Community is how Jesus chooses to build his kingdom. And so I think that's why here even, this is why we get connected to small groups. This is why we serve in the church. It provides opportunity to rub some shoulders, to have good conversation, to pray for one another, and to live missionally. So do we want to build God's kingdom today? Yeah, come on, let's do it. On your street, in your office, in your dorm room, it's time. We can do this together through missional community, one new seat around the table at a time.
Jesus really used Chi Alpha in my life to bring me out of a time of complacency that I was in. I was deeply connected in a high school group, and then COVID hit my senior year. We went home. As most of you know, we weren't able to do anything. Wasn't allowed to get connected at college the following year. We weren't even allowed in each other's dorm rooms. So I really fell out of community, was new here in Erie. So I didn't have a church to go to. And then I started coming here to Erie first, met Chi Alpha at Barron campus. And Jesus just really used that community to reignite that fire that I had in high school and just really bring me back into community and ultimately give me a direction to go in the rest of my life. Jesus really just used Chi Alpha and the community of Chi Alpha to just wake me up from that complacency that I was in, that space of not connecting with people on a deeper level, not bringing in the goodness of God to other people. And he just really woke me up from that in the community of Chi Alpha.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.